this thing. No title again.
And I did lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Kick, kick. Last segment. It's about 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning, Easter weekend. Tomorrow's Good Friday. I've got an appointment with a student to interview him about his experience in Costa Rica. Got to do that and submit it and say, okay, here's my report. I dreamt about it last night. I can't believe how much. Oh, I don't know. It's not stress, but frustration, I guess, and some anger I'm feeling about this trip and people on this trip, and maybe the whole institution at the college. It's just running through my mind. And last night I had the angriest dream, or it was this morning. I woke up to it. Frustration. And remember, a voice. There was a crowd. I was with friends who were on a holiday somewhere and traveling, and suddenly the roads are flooded. We can't get in there. And somebody else says, no, no, no. There's a meeting. Well, I didn't get the email. Well, you have to go. And another woman who I didn't even know walked past me, and almost with a sneer, they're not accepting your audio. And I was furious. How the hell does she know, and why is everybody against this? And it's clearly the whole dream symbolizes my frustration with myself for not speaking up and stating kind of who I am, where I come from. I think it really does stem from some of this Scarborough dude, can the teacher split? It was last day with students yesterday. Group hug. Lots of just really positive feedback from the students making me feel all right. I'm coming back for more. What was odd, that I brought in another teacher, a younger, newer teacher, to teach paraphrasing. And she did it in such a good way. Like, she was really good. And she made them work. And it was as if I was getting the message, hey, you know, you think you're suited for this class, but in fact, there might be other teachers who will do them better. They like you, and they get along with you, and they like your sense of humor. But in terms of actually teaching, are you really the best person for the job? Which is the message I want to send to the dean, to say, hey, put me back with this same group, because I'm good for them. And you know, that may be a lie. It may be, no, there's somebody else even better suited to actually doing, giving them what they need, which is really clear, concise English instruction on how to do stuff. And I'm just getting a little older and a little lazier, and maybe I'm not the guy. So there's a lot of built-in confusion. And, of course, another part says, man, when am I ever going to retire? I'll be 66 next week. Isn't it time? And I'm already planning on going back and teaching till I'm 67. Yeah, I need that one more year just to cover expenses. And what did I do? I went online. Ooh, gee, I can get Apple at educational prices. And I went and bought myself an iPad mini, the new Retina display, because it was $100 cheaper. And I've been planning on getting one anyway for my summer tour. It'll just be handy. The iPad I've got now, the iPad, camera doesn't work. One of the speakers, when you put in your earbuds, it doesn't work. You can't listen to stuff on it. It's just a piece of shit. Like, I'm really disappointed in the quality of this. Like, substandard manufacturing or parts or both. And it's a piece of crap. This is an iPad 2, I guess, that I had. And it's done. I'm very disappointed. Anyway, me being the sucker that I am, oh, I'll get a new one. And I kind of like the idea the iPad mini would be perfect for my tours. And, of course, it goes on the Amex card and it runs through the business, and that's what it's for and so on. But meanwhile, I got to get my poor wife doesn't have a cell phone, and I got to go and get her. And what's the best thing to get her? She already got an iPad. Why not get her the 5C, the Apple iPhone 5C, the cheaper one, you know, the color one, and just, hey, you can use this. You can get directions. You can get messages. You can phone. She needs it. Oh, it's crazy. Is that even what I wanted to talk about? What did I want to talk about? Enjoying listening to Up in the Spring, Jason. I love the way his podcast has evolved, and he's doing exactly what I want people to do on amateur podcasting, personal amateur podcasts, you know, PACs, personal amateur podcasts. Just reveal yourself. Open up. to sympathetic listeners and caregivers and people who, you're just talking to people who are accepting and want to know people for who they are, not how great they are or who they're pretending to be, but for who they really are, weaknesses and all. And the more people open up like that, the more approachable you are, the closer we feel to you. You know, that's just a given to me. Anyway, I've run out of time, I think. I had a whole bunch of stuff, but I've gotten this habit of by Thursday I'm done, and I got to start a whole new podcast. Oh, my God, somebody walking four dogs and they're barking at the geese. Yeah. So, damn it, come back next week. I got to talk about this terrible story of that boat that sunk off Korea when all the students stayed where they were told to, and now they're, you know, up to 300 students drown. Meanwhile, the captain, the coward, gets off the ship. Only two life rafts. This is disgusting, you know. I didn't get to talk about Jim Flaherty or politician, but you can hear about that anywhere else. I'm just holding up for quality people and a captain who abandons ship. Like the other cruise ship. But what are they making captains out of these days? I thought a captain was a heroic thing. That's just bloody awful. And the horror, the tragedy for those parents of having their children maybe still alive up to a point on a capsized ship. This is just an awful, awful story. Meanwhile, that same group I talked about that fills me with so much hatred, Boko Haram, kidnapped 75 girls or so from a girls' school, and they will use them as sex slaves or cooks. They just went in, you know, remote sections where nobody can defend all the schools. You can't put an army around every school in Nigeria. Just went in and just took these girls. What a horrific, bloody, goddamn awful. What kind of fucking people are these? Oh, what is, where is the hope in this world? The hope is with the nice people, dude, calm down. The hope is with your listeners. The hope is with the people you hang out with. The hope is with your friends. You can't be ruled by all these things that are happening way beyond your control. You gotta calm down, man. It's just gonna eat you up, poison your soul. Okay, God, what a horrible note to end on. I'm sorry, but we're out of here. Back next week. In fact, I'm going to start recording tomorrow. Bye for now. Thank you, geese, for the chorus. Oh, it's so neat to see them take a run and then fly. They got to just do a running start to get liftoff. It's like an airplane taxiing down the runway. And off they go. Canada geese. Bye for now.
There's just something where, that's why I always, I'm sidebarring again. It's sidebar upon sidebar, folks. If you're not used to that on the Love Hate podcast by now, get used to it. It's why whenever someone says to you, you know, don't you wish you could go back and do it all over again? And everyone always who thinks about it always says, oh yeah, but I'd have to have the same knowledge that I have now. I'd have to take my knowledge back with me. Because you know, I don't want to give this up. This is why you grow older. This is why you experience things. This is to be able to listen to music and appreciate it on a certain level. And dare I say, even thinking that over the next 10 to 20 years, how much more will I be able to appreciate it? That's something incredible to look forward to. There may not be a lot of things in this finite existence that we have that are worth looking forward to. But I can tell you, one of the things that I look forward to is 20 years from now, sitting in front of whatever we call a computer, calling up whatever they call YouTube at the time, and listening to a John Coltrane album. We're listening to a streaming old John Coltrane album, which at that point will be, what, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70 years old? And saying, holy fuck, this guy found something. with a saxophone and a backup band that very few people find.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, one of the reasons what? That I do what I do on this podcast,
okay,
this kind of free conversation,
mm-hmm,
is because I hope that I find some of those moments for myself in terms of my thought process, in terms of my expression of language. To me, that's an art form. And I like to think that along the way, while you may not compare it to a symphony or you may not compare it to John Coltrane, at some point when you put it up against other people who you listen to, you might say, there's a guy that I enjoy listening to more than other people, just because he's taken the time to learn how to use words.
Whoa. Never.
The more that you talk, the better you are at talking, I think.
Okay, okay. I gotta stop this.
Conversations, the better that you are at conversations.
I'm starting to squirm here. I'm thinking I might not be living up to this. Sorry.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I actually think I was pretty logical and coherent there for a long period of time.
You were, you were, you were.
See,
you were.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to stop you there now, Anthony. I wasn't planning on this. I was just coming to give you some mundane story about the iPhone 5C I just got from my wife for an Easter present. She's been needing a phone. And I've been negligent. Oh, God, the whole thing's falling apart here. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because it's the frustration of going into Rogers and having to haggle and getting offered this and you know, playing that crazy game. Well, listen, if I go home and I call up online, these guys are going to tell me I can get this, this, and this. I've been a customer for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, it worked. I mean, the price went down considerably with every bitchy comment I made. I did it really nicely. In the end, I shook hands with the guy and thanked him, and I'll give him a good service comment if they call me back. And I walked out with what I wanted. It's a nice white iPhone 5C that I know will mean a lot to my wife. And I just decided, instead of giving it to her tonight, it's Thursday, it's ready, I'm going to load it up with some David Bowie and maybe some other music she likes, and I'm going to maybe wrap it up and give it to her as an Easter present on Good Friday. And I think she'll appreciate that a little more, because I just don't do enough for my wife, as you have heard on this very podcast. And not just that, but a lot of the stuff I do for her, she doesn't really appreciate. This, she's got to appreciate. She's got to be glad. And even, you know, here we go. I phoned my son, Chuck, and said, I'm thinking about doing this. You think it's a good idea? Yeah, do it, Dad. It's a good idea. And I'm kind of glad I involved him in the process. But yeah, just this idea. Here's Anthony talking about your taste getting a little more sophisticated and you're learning and listening and appreciating life on a deeper level, you know, in 10, 20 years. Well, I'm 20 years up on Anthony, and I'm telling you about haggling for an iPhone in the Rogers store. I'm sorry, but hey, I enjoy what I'm doing. I have much more pleasure, and believe me, the guy you're listening to now, I don't know who you would have been listening to if I cranked the clock back 20 years. Where would I have been? I would have been in Japan. Where? Okay, let's say it's 2014. All right, then. Jeez. 94. Is that right? Yeah. I guess I was just starting off life here in Toronto, you know, bought the house in 93, I guess we moved back. No, 94, yeah, 20 years ago. Just starting up and with the two kids and moving into a big house, all the kind of stuff, adult stuff that I didn't ever think I'd be capable of, you know, and they shipped in Japan. I got a good deal and I didn't get a good deal. It was part of the contract. Hey, shipping staff overseas, I got a container full of stuff. So this big, huge truck came to our house with all kinds of stuff we bought back from Japan that we didn't really need to. Surprising now when I think about it. I don't even know what filled those containers. I think there was two of them. It was a huge deal. But that was before the company went bust. I kind of got out at a good time. Anyway, in terms of sophistication, here I sit in front of the graveyard at St. Andrew's Cemetery, and I come up empty. I started the first clip you might have heard would have been what I thought was going to end today's podcast, and here I am saying, well, I've got to patch something onto that. I'm feeling terrible for the families of the school children who undoubtedly drowned horribly on that sunken ferry boat. It just seems so wrong, and the outrageousness of a crew abandoning ship, a captain being amongst the first. Like, this is just so wrong. But, hey, this is timely stuff, and I should be trying to take my game up to a higher level, as Anthony just inspired me, and giving you something of better quality. I don't think I'm capable of doing that today because I got real stuff that I really do have to do involving work, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's going to be a productive day because, if nothing else, I do have adult responsibilities towards my wife, my sons, and that's what I got to deal with. That's what I'm going to do. So this is a more mature Ken saying bye for now, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye. Thanks, Anthony. We'll get back to you now and see if we can take this back up to a higher plane of conversation.
Podcast episode number 648.
Oh, you're closing out.
Find me all over the web.
All right.
By typing it in.
Yeah, all right. They know how to find you. Just go tune into Dixon James. You'll find Anthony Marco. Okay, bye for now.
Hey, Scarborough dude. It's Mark Blevis calling. I know I'm a day early on K17 day for April. I'm just listening to your show and thought I would weigh in while everything is still fresh in my mind. I'm not finished listening to your latest show. You've just left the emergency room with your son there about his meds. And I wanted to jump in with just a couple of quick comments because yesterday I had a conversation with my barber about the way I perceive some of the challenges with our older daughter, who's now 8.5, and she's already giving us the years. And I said to my barber, who's actually a woman with two grown children of her own, one who's 22 and one who's 17, and I said, I can only imagine. And she chuckled. She said, no, you can't. She said, for all the preparation you can make, you'll never be prepared for the challenges that lie ahead. You just have to ride them out, and you do your best to handle them when they come up. The other thing I wanted to say, excuse me, I wanted to say, it's actually escaped my head just a moment. Let me think about it. Oh, you were talking about exploding at home. And I think this is something that is, I'm going to call it the rule, not the exception. I think there are far too many of us, and I'll consider myself among them, who find, it's not so much that we find it easier, it's that we find ourselves in the unfortunate position of being more relaxed, more unconsciously or subconsciously willing to vent in their home situation because they don't have the opportunity to vent outside. So it's easier to expose your true colors to your family than it is when you're out in your work, when you're out in your social situation. And I think that the stories that you tell about your sons and the way they handle the situations, I have to say, is brilliant. And I don't want you to hold yourself in contempt of life, because I think you do the best you can in the circumstances. And it's also, we're rediscovering ourselves and we're relearning as we go. So hopefully with each opportunity, we grow a little bit and we know how to handle things a little bit more differently and more positively next time. Keep it up. And I'm really hoping to make it to your birthday. I haven't worked out all the details. If I can't be there, I'll be there virtually, and I will definitely make a phone call to you during the evening. So talk to you soon.
Okay. I'm at the University of Toronto. I guess it's called King's College Circle. It's beautiful, a little area, lovely old buildings, and you really feel the sense of history. My Japanese students love it when we bring them here on a tour. Anyway, I'm sitting in my car. I should be out exploring these lovely grounds. I just don't want to pay the $7 parking. It looks like there's a First Saturday It's a flat rate. You can be here as long as you want. But I don't want it. I'm not staying. I just hate. I guess no. It's not cheap. Why the hell would I pay $7 to park my car for a few minutes? So I'm sitting in it in case somebody comes by and checks. Enough about the parking, buddy. It's a gorgeous day. I just dropped my wife off at the Art Gallery of Ontario, the AGO. Rather than have her, you know, take public transportation and get down there, I thought, come on, Saturday, traffic won't be bad. Dropped her off, and now I have to decide whether I'm going to wait around for her to finish and drive her home or let her just take the GO train, which she probably will. Because tonight I got to go out and meet my buddy Brian at the Dakota Tavern because I scored a couple of free tickets for a concert for a band whose name I can't even remember, but I will know after tonight. You'll probably hear about it tomorrow. It's been a good day. I met with one more of the students who I went to Costa Rica with. I'll refer to them all generically as global citizens. This fellow I hadn't had a chance to talk with at length, and I knew he was the quiet one, and therefore I knew I was going to get very good answers from him. And I interviewed him for the assignment that I've had to do about trying to, you know, pull out what they got out of this experience, this GCEL, this Global Citizenship and Equity Learning Experience. We didn't touch too much on equity, but covered enough of the human side of it, and that's just how I chose to do this assignment. So I felt good about that. I really did. I was flattered when I asked one of the questions, you know, who made an impression on you? And boy, it's embarrassing to say that, but he came up with me. And I wasn't expecting that, and I didn't prompt that, but just because I helped dissolve this split between teacher and student, or this take down this wall, and that is something that I really believe in. I was really thrilled that he picked up on it. A little embarrassed because I'm going to hand this into the staff at the college, and they may think, oh my God, you dog, you had him say that. And of course, that's not true at all. But it's reassuring to hear that, because I've had, sometimes I go through an awful lot of self-doubt. Anybody who's listened to this podcast knows that for sure. Barnacle Bill, I was exchanging emails. He doesn't tweet, so we can only do it by emails back and forth. And of course, I have my iPad, I'm watching TV, and he'll email me, I'll fire back an answer. And he was, had a few pints into him, was going to have a scotch, I think he had a toke. And I said, well, instead of having another drink, why don't you listen to the Dixon James podcast? Now, Barnacle Bill has made it clear from the beginning he will never listen to this thing. He thinks it's stupid. He has no time for it. Why would I waste my time? And, you know, that's fine. I have no problem with friends not wanting to listen to this. I quite understand. I fully understand. But in this particular case, because he wasn't doing anything else, and because I thought he's often asking personal questions about me or my family, my son, my wife, you know, who he knows well. Barnacle Bill and I have been friends since 1972, I guess. That's a long time. I said, look, why don't you just try and listen to this one, the one I just put out. And the message I got back afterwards, well, it took too long to download, and what a piece of crap, why do you even bother doing that, was his response. Now, I wisely decided not to take the bait, not to say anything back, and was very surprised, very pleased, actually, the next day to get kind of an apology for him. Maybe I was a little off the mark, that was a little unfair. He didn't listen to it. I mean, he abandoned it, and that's fine. It's very rare for him, almost as rare as it is for my wife, to apologize. So I did really appreciate that a lot. Hey, no problem. It's, you know, and I really didn't mean that. But it made me go back and listen to the episode that I sent him, which was the one prior to this. And as I listened, I thought, you know, he's right. It is a piece of shit. There is nothing there. Why would anybody listen to this? And I really, honestly, that's how I felt. And I've gone back and forth on this. In fact, I even mentioned in that episode that, you know, is there any reason anybody would want to listen to this crap? And so you do get filled with a lot of self-doubts. And, and part of the problem for me is I build it up like it's my justification. I've fulfilled my duties this week. Week by week, it's like giving my Sunday sermon at the church. I've done something, even if I didn't accomplish all the other things that were on my list, I did do this. And so today, having this global citizen student say back to me, he really appreciated the depth of my conversation and valued the fact that I could talk as equals as a friend and not as a professor-student relationship. Really gave me back that that reassurance, that confidence that I need an injection of every once in a while. Okay, so we'll move on from there. Thank you. My wife is pleased with her iPhone. I'm so glad I did. I've always talked about, again on this show, how many times I blow it. Like, virtually nothing in the way of jewelry, nothing in the way of clothing do I ever, ever, ever get right. Ever. Getting her a nice white iPhone C and a clear case for the back and loading it up for her with some music and just showing her the basics, she really did appreciate. And that really makes me happy. I'm really glad. So now she's off to the museum. She's got the phone. She can call me. I mean, she should have had a phone long ago, but it's just good that this worked out. So I guess that's all I got. I still don't know what to do. I'd like to get out of my car and walk around. I'm doomed not to do that because I refuse to put in a ticket. So, you know, am I crazy? Shouldn't I just get the hell out of here and enjoy this beautiful day downtown, a place where I never am? Why am I sitting in the front seat of my car with the moonroof open, looking up at one of the oldest buildings on campus? And you can't help but think of World War I when you're at the University of Toronto. At least I can't. I have a connection to World War I, of course, through my grandfather who served in it and was probably destroyed by it. So we'll leave it there. I just needed to get this to you. And by the way, the Global Citizen today was the third person I have given the links to and said, hey, this Ken that you know is also the Scarborough Dude. And here you go. If you want to listen, go ahead. All right. That's it. Bye for now. Hey, I got to give a little interruption here. I'm still downtown. When I come downtown, if I ever come by car, it's to get to a place and get the hell out of there. It's never to drive around. But today, kind of glad I did it. Dropped my wife off at Dundas, the AGO, and then drove up to, you know, the University of Toronto. Then decided to take Wellesley through Queen's Park. And it was going to fall right to the end and then get on Bloor and the Don Valley Parkway home. But I stopped along Wellesley. There's an IGA, you know, Food Basics, sorry, at Wellesley and Ontario. And holy fuck, I guess I'm in the middle of St. Jamestown, which is all the high-rises. And this is where you hear, oh, drug busts and murders and just holy shit, the stuff that goes on. It is the weirdest vibe. Now, when I lived out in Vancouver, we didn't have a lot of money. But I was never desperate. We, you know, we went from apartment to apartment. You often end up crashing on somebody's sofa. But I was never desperate. Never at rock bottom. And always knew, but let's say, being white, middle-class Canadian with a university background, I can get myself out of any hole I'm in. There's always going to be a way out. You get to a place like this and you realize, no, this is a one-way trap in and you don't get out of here. Holy fuck, I went to that Food Basics thinking, oh, I'll just get a nice, you know, cold can of coffee or something and get out. You know, like in Japan, man, put your money in the machine and there comes your milk tea or whatever you want. Anyway, no such thing here. I got in there and holy fuck, I couldn't get out fast enough. It was the weirdest way to get in. You felt like it was a panic. You're claustrophobic. It's like leading rats into a maze. There's only one narrow doorway in. And you're thinking, how the hell am I going to get out here? Well, getting out, when I decided I didn't want to spend another minute in there, it stunk. This is not me being bigoted or anything else. It stunk. The people in there smelled. Okay, I'm just laying it out there. Don't tell me that wasn't a bad smell in that place. That was, and that was human. I tried to get out three aisles. All three of them were blocked by people in these motorized wheelchairs. You could not get past. Holy fuck, if there's ever a fire alarm went off in there. Panic in Detroit. Man, oh man. You could not get past this. How huge these fucking things. And I've never seen. It's like every fucking wheelchair access, motorized, handicap scooter has been drawn by some giant magnet in the middle of St. Jamestown. Bring, right to this place. God damn it. Like, and there was another guy who needed out in a hurry, I can tell. Like, and he'd go to an aisle, boom, blocked. You can't get past those suckers. Go to another one. Oh, shit. Can't get out. It was really unpleasant. I'm glad I did it. I don't know why. Why would I say that? Just maybe to make me feel, oh, fuck, it's not so bad living in a nice house in a middle-class suburb. Holy fuck. Thank God I did not end up here. I went outside, and then they had, like, a flea market of just people selling stuff. And even that was how desperate. Like, there was nothing there you wanted to touch or even pick up. There was one table that was all vaporizers and hash pipes and stuff. And it was cool. And they had really cheap prices, but it would be sort of you buy it and you take your luck. Like, why they were half the price you'd find in a regular vaporizer shop or head shop. Well, take a guess. Who knows? But anyway, I just had to share that with you. It was so weird. I'm really glad I did this. I'm glad I came out. I don't often just have unrehearsed days. You know, where I am. I got my home. I got my college. I got Bluffers Park. And my pub, the only cafe. This is unexplored territory. And it's not territory I'm really in any rush to get back to. But again, it connects me to my younger self. I think that's why I'm so excited. Like, oh yeah. This is when you're in a new city and you're just, it's a Saturday and you got no plans at all other than you know you're going to end up in a bar sometime that night. But let's just explore for a while. And that's exactly what I did. So anyway, thought I'd just share that with you. That's all now. I'm going to continue my journey and head on home. And I feel good about things. I feel good really about getting that lovely iPhone for my wife. I almost said her name. And for dropping her off at the AGO, driving downtown, so she didn't have to do the public transit. She's not feeling very well. She's got a very sensitive stomach, and that really interferes. That's a major reason why she's not likely to follow Brian and I out to pubs and so on. Okay, back to you later. Bye for now. Oh, yeah, I've been listening to Chub Creek Dave, the Dave side, and it's kind of neat. We started a conversation. I listened to him, then we texted back and forth. And then he picked up sort of the thread of our conversation on his last podcast, which I'm in the middle of listening to now. Thanks, Dave. Just about kind of to do with your authentic self. I had said I should have him on the podcast that I do, like a Talking to Tim type thing of just interviewing. He's talking about why he doesn't like to swear, and which is his real self, and that's the self he wants to share, as boring as it may be, he says. And I kind of get that. I have differences of opinion about, you know, whether or not you can use the F word. But it's good. It made me feel good again that there are conversations happening. And that if we're looking for missions in life, one of my missions in life is to engage in conversation whenever and wherever and with whomever possible. That aside, I didn't have a lot of conversations in this local food basics. Thank you. Bye for now. One more quick P.S. from St. James Cemetery. This is right on Bloor and what Parliament, I guess. Right on the edge of St. Jamestown, all these high-rises I told you about. And I've passed this place so many times, and I've always wanted to come in here and explore. And so it's just great. Today lent itself to that. Today is, it's just got the feeling of that wonderful open freedom. Like when things aren't planned, you don't have a time and a destination. You know, I'm heading home, but suddenly I pull over and think, hey, wait a minute. There's a cemetery and there's a parking lot and I think I'll go in and check. It's off the list. It was very neat looking at all these very old tombstones and just having a walk around here and Oh, doing something I wanted to do. So that's all I'm sharing with you. Again, it's that same message I give out, you know, every second podcast. Be free. Give yourself some time. Break the routines. Break the patterns. Treat yourself. Do the unexpected. Be open to new experiences. Blah, 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 blah. And that's why I'm here, standing here, feeling good about it. Yes, indeed, feeling good about it. Ha! Bye for now.
Good morning, Captain. Good morning, Shy. Do you need another mule skinner out on your new mud line? Doodly-dee-dee, doodly-dee-dee. I like to work, I'm rolling all the time. I can pop my initials on a mule behind. Doodly-dee, doodly-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Hey, little water boy, bring that water around. If you don't like your job, set that water bucket down. Working on the good roads, darling, half a day. My good gal's waiting on Saturday night just to draw my pay.
Accepting yourself, and sometimes that's a very hard thing to do because we load ourselves up with guilt and with societal pressures and all these other things. And I'm saying this to tell you out there that
it's
good to push back.
This is me listening to
it's
me.
It's good to listen to your inner voice and say, "Hey,"
and my inner voice is saying,
"Do that now. This is
turn
what I
turn
want.
Him down."
Because it is your life, and you do get one crack at
I'm doing that. Because I actually went back and listened to that podcast number 451, I think. Yeah. Goodbye, dude. Welcome back, dude. This is the me now in real time. The reason I did that was I wanted to go back and replay what I had said on that podcast about these evolution stations for washing your feet at the college, because Slugor on his latest, just came out yesterday, I think, podcast, took up the challenge. I had said, look, if I'm wrong about this, why I was making such a fuss about colleges instituting foot washing stations for students of a certain faith who have to wash their feet before they pray. It just bugged me, probably irrationally bugged me, although I was trying to say it was possibly a financial issue, but that really wasn't it. And Slughorn took up the theme in a much calmer and more mature manner, and gave his opinion. So all I would say is go and listen to Slug is Doug. I think it was a Slug Daily. And hear his voice on this matter. I guess I'm somewhat, I'm not ashamed, embarrassed, I suppose. I'm somewhat embarrassed about my venting on this thing, because I think the truth is the bigger picture is, since I'm one of those nasty atheists who now thinks, okay, because I'm an atheist and this is the modern approach, this is the way people should be thinking, that everybody should be an atheist and should take your religion, as quaint as it may be, and you know what. And I know that's, I guess, certainly not a very tolerant view and certainly not a very enlightened view. We should be accepting of everybody. So I think anybody conforming to anything, and this could be soldiers, this could be of a political ideology, it could be communism, anybody who follows the rules of an institution, an organization, a religion, frightens me a little bit. I want to think, whoa, why is it, for example, why is it exactly you're washing your feet, you need to wash your feet? Well, because it is written, and we were told, you know, a very long time ago, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, maybe in the desert your feet were dirty and so on, but I guess really the question to me is, there is no God of any intelligence. First of all, there is no God of any intelligence. There is no God. But if there were a God, an almighty, all-powerful, gee, it'd be nice if they were loving, too, but I never get the feeling the kind of God that religions believe in is really a kind God. And I'm not just talking Old Testament. I'm saying even anybody who has this power over us. Oh, yeah. Hey, guy. Help us fix things here. Help us cure cancer. Help us get rid of all the trouble we have. Help us be a little wiser in cleaning up our planet, you know. Hey, give a hand there, buddy. Don't just leave it all to us. So, it sounds like I'm being silly here, but I'm saying, no, any God of any greatness, I can't imagine, would be demanding that humans pray in the fashion that is dictated by Islam, for example. Maybe Catholicism. Maybe any other religion. That just, hey, why? You, what is this subservience? What is this? Who made these regulations? Who said you have to pray in this way, in this direction, in this manner, and do all these things, and follow all these things? Some humans did in their interpretation of this religion. Some humans came up with these rules and said, hey, this is what you do. And that blind obedience frightens me, and I think of colleges and universities as places of enlightenment, and to me, enlightenment and religion just don't go together. And I guess, again, somebody's going to say, no, you got it all wrong, dude. College isn't about enlightenment. College is about training you for a job and fitting into this multicultural modern world we live in, and therefore it is all about tolerance and getting along and accepting our differences. And dude, you got it all wrong entirely, and I could well be, I'm owning up to that, okay, I'm just trying to talk myself into a more reasonable point of view, and I don't know if I can. I'm just so damn stubborn on this, and so fixed, and other people I have talked to
have similar views about these foot washing stations, but I think also tend to think, look, I prefer that to somebody washing their feet in the sink. Given that people are going to wash their feet anyway, let's do it in this sanitary fashion that's not going to bother other people. And so perhaps, this is a much higher level of thinking and understanding and awareness that I am capable of at this point. So forgive me my ignorance, my inability to reach that level just yet. But this is why, again, I believe things like personal podcasts, things of people having conversation and being open and saying what they think is better than harboring feelings inside and letting them act at you, or you know, letting them fester is much worse. So I would rather confess and open up to my perhaps ignorant viewpoints than live in fear of not expressing them, okay? Let's just put it that way. So, final point on the prayer rooms. There's distinctly a feeling, and again, this is not just me, but other people, that these prayer rooms are not universal prayer rooms. When it says prayer room or meditation room, it's not for everybody. It's an unspoken understanding that these are for people who have to pray at a certain time of day. That's where they belong. And I suppose at any other time, any Betty of any other religion would be welcome just to come in and sit on the mats and pray in your own way. Happy Easter, by the way. I'm eating a chocolate. I raced out to Shoppers knowing they'd be open so I could at least come back with a chocolate bunny for my son. I now have made Tim Hortons. And I mean, that was deliberate irony. Saying happy Easter. It is Easter Sunday. I'm in line with the more primitive view of fertility and spring. And Easter is a spring holiday, and it doesn't... I don't think, although I was raised a Christian, I don't think I I like Easter. Sometimes you got presents, you know, and you got chocolate. And there's people, you got new clothes, and it was springtime. And sometimes you had to go to church. But in terms of the resurrection, let's just say, the idea that I'm looking out at the trees now here in Bluffers Park, and I see the buds on the tree branches, and you know the leaves are coming, and this is resurrection, and this is the wonder of living in a climate where you go through these cycles, these seasons, and the fact that Easter and spring just fit so nicely is quite wonderful. So I am celebrating spring. Okay, I guess that's probably enough. I don't know where I got to in this conversation. I wanted to acknowledge Doug's response to what I said. And again, that's one of the things I love about podcasting, is there is a bit of back and forth. Just as I was listening to Chub Creek Dave the other day talking about our conversation about who was his podcast for and who's the real you, and him saying he just doesn't like swearing anyway, regardless. And so he's, you know, he has his way and I have my way, and Doug has his way. And this is the wonder and the beauty of people being individuals and expressing themselves for the individual being that they are. Okay? That's what I'd like to celebrate too. Be yourself. However flawed you may be. All right. Talk to you later. I gotta come up with something better than this. Bye for now.
Here come Dumb George. 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 Everybody together in the chorus. Here come Dumb George. Here come Dumb George. Boogaloo. Boogaloo, baby. Here come Dumb George. Here come Dumb George. Come Dumb George.
Yeah, check, check. Gotta make this a quick one because this is winding up a podcast. I can't believe it. It's Monday. And I've already finished the podcast. I'm not supposed to release till next Saturday. I've already bumped it until Friday. But anyway, that's the way it goes. I don't plan these things. I just record when I feel the need. And I feel the need right now because yesterday was 420 day. And as you know, that's the International Day of Celebration of Pot, Marijuana. And I'm glad it was started in B.C. Well, probably did in America, too. That's where they came up with the 420. 20th of April. Big celebration since 1995 in British Columbia, and it's spread. And yesterday, from the news reports, Dundas Square, downtown Toronto, was full, packed, dense with people all lighting up. And I think it's wonderful, and the police just watch from the sidelines. Nobody gets arrested, nobody gets harassed. And it's just a given that even under Trudeau's platform, they're going to decriminalize marijuana. And Harper says they're moving towards just giving fines, or having the police give fines at worst. Moving in the right direction, I'm just disappointed. 1972, Ledain Commission recommended decriminalization. This is a very deep, thorough study. That's, what, 40 years ago when I was in university, and nothing happened. It just kept getting shelved. No government has the courage. Finally, America goes ahead in Colorado, where I'm heading this summer. Yeah. Foreigners or non-residents can buy up to a quarter ounce at a time, but then, of course, you can go down the street and buy another quarter ounce. The trouble is, I have the feeling that once you leave the state of Colorado and you move into the next states and around, which we're planning on doing, we're going to be visiting four or five states, they have not decriminalized this stuff, so you could find yourself in trouble. And that's going to be a real something to sort out. But anyway, my point is, I didn't go downtown to the 420 demonstration. I don't feel I have to. I think at least one of my sons has on occasion in the past. I don't know if he was there that day. It doesn't matter. I protest. Maybe is the wrong word. I think I celebrate my own way. I make my own statement that I think people have to. It's like, you know, people talk about, oh, I can't join every damn rally and cause and demonstration and old placards for this and that. You have to live by your own truths and values. And what I do is when I go downtown, for example, I went to a new bar Saturday night. Don't have to tell you the details. Great time to see some fantastic music. Well, I know very well that I'm going to enjoy the conversation more, the ambience of the bar, the sound, the music, the interactions with the people around me. Everything I'm just going to get a really nice, intimate feeling for after a little toke. So I step outside these bars. I'll order my beer, I'll be down there, and then it's okay, it's time. Tell Brian, excuse me, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. I head on up, and I don't go running away looking for some dark. I step into the, if there's an alleyway next door or a doorway, there's lights on, there's people passing by. I don't hide it, and I pull out my pen and pull out what's left of a joint, and I have three, four puffs of medicinal marijuana. And that's all I need. I don't have to get wasted. I don't get wasted. I just go in, get a nice little glow on, and head back into the bar, smiling and friendly. And it's... In other words, I'm not being secretive about it. It's the same for playing music I'm not licensed to play on this podcast right from the start. Hey, I'm not doing anything wrong, so don't throw these things at me. You have to follow your own conscience. You have to do what you believe is right. And the idea that I don't want to go into some dark corner and hide, I think more importantly, it's not whether I do that or not. This is what I enjoy. Thank you. Is not living in fear of our police. The one thing we have in Canada is a great degree of freedom. And I know that's not true, and it's especially not true if you happen to be black or somebody else who the police want to target.
And yes, there's surveillance and all these other things, but generally speaking, we still have a lot of freedom, and we have to celebrate that, take advantage of it, put it to use, test the limits of it, and just, you know, all these future scenarios of everybody spying on everybody and being able to be hauled into court on charges or whatever, locked up, as they did at the G20 demonstration in Toronto. Man, oh man, those are the things you have to fight. We cannot let Canada go down that road. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I. Not that that's a celebration, but it's a commemoration. And again, I think, hey, I had a grandfather who went off to that war after having a peaceful life settling in Canada. I left and went back to his homeland, Great Britain. I think he joined the Canadian Forces. A father who served in some capacity, which we still don't know, in World War II. This whole thing was about fighting for our freedom and so that we, the survivors, could live better lives. And that's something that is just damn well very important. And being able to smoke marijuana, I would go so far as to say, hey, I want mushrooms, I want, you know, access to psilocybin or LSD as well, but that's a harder battle. But we're moving in the right direction. It's just taking a fucking long time, but it is one thing. Whether or not you smoke dope is really not the issue. It's whether or not people should have the right to and not be dictated by a police system or judicial system or legislators who say, no, I don't want you doing that. This is just big, like gay rights and gay marriage and everything else is big. These are rights we have and that any free-thinking people should insist upon, okay? So there, end of rant, end of speech. I'm just glad that myself, my friends that I grew up with, all these years later, from when we started in probably 67, are still smoking weed recreationally and enjoying it. And I will continue to. I did step outside and I had a really good talk with somebody who appeared to be a bouncer, but just decided he'd just keep me company while I smoked my joint. Now, to me, that was the neatest thing because it was beautiful. We had just a wonderful conversation. I said, look, I'm sorry, it's just a roach. I can't even share. No, don't worry, buddy. I prefer the baked goods anyway. And we got into a talk about how when I'm finally hauled off to senior's home, I'm going to demand or hope there's a movement to demand that on Friday afternoon everybody gets marijuana brownies, you know, or whatever, just to set us up for the weekend and enjoy. Those are basic fucking rights. And if I have to ever be goddamn locked up in a place where they're telling me when to eat and what pills to take and what I can and can't do, holy fuck, there's going to be shit to pay. You believe me, the Scarborough dude, if you haven't heard of him now, you're going to hear about him then. God damn it. We've run out of time. This is the end of another podcast. Dixon Gene Scarborough Dude talking to you, and please come back. And I won't apologize for the, I was going to say shoddy quality. No, it's not shoddy quality. Of just whatever, you get what you get, okay? Hey, I'm human. I do my best. And you go out there and you do your best, and you do something. You follow what you think is right, and test your values and put them into practice, and don't be a coward. All right? Don't be cowardly. Live by your beliefs. Thank you very much. All that, of course, is in celebration in addition of Reuben Hurricane Carter, who just died, and Anthony Marco. Just did a bit about him, although I disagreed an awful lot with what Anthony had to say for some reason. I'm delighted that I don't have to play Dylan's Hurricane, which meant an awful lot to me when it came out, and I really, really did take note and listen. And Anthony is playing it on his show right now. So I got to get back into my car and listen to that. Bye for now. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Better call up the cops. And no panic calls the cops.